Hare Krishna.
I have no preparation but this words of my dear God brothers and God sisters have inspired some thoughts that I would like to share with all of you this evening. Thoughts about the inconceivable ways Srila Prabhupada's mercy could reach our hearts. Purna Pragya Prabhu was explaining his first contact with Srila Prabhupada. It was through a photograph on the back of a book called Krishna, the Reservoir of All Pleasure, where he was thinking, this man is from another world. In 1970, I decided to travel abroad. I had already traveled throughout America looking for some higher truth. And I was in New York City, and I was going to take a plane to Europe to search for the truth. I was about to begin a pilgrimage of life, not knowing what I would find, but I committed myself, I will not return home till I find it. Before departing on that plane to Europe, I was in a very large public area with many, many people around, and one devotee came up to me. I didn't know who he was. I never saw devotees before. I didn't even know he was a Hare Krishna devotee. But just somebody strange looking came up to me and put a book in my hand and said, you should take this book. I said, I honestly have no money, which I didn't. I had no money. He said, well, you have to give me something. I said, but I have nothing. At that time, this other young man came to try to sell me some hashish. He came up and said, hashish! I will sell you hashish. And this devotee, he wanted to sell me Krishna. He said, I want to sell him Krishna. And they started arguing. One said, hashish! The other said, Krishna! Hashish! Krishna! Hashish! Krishna! And they got really angry with each other. And then they were just desperately trying to defeat the other. Hashish! Krishna! Hashish! There was no other words. And finally they both walked away. And I was holding this book. I had no money. He said he wouldn't give it to me for free, but then this came about. So it was called Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. I never read that book. I just put it in my little bag, and then I left for Europe, and I was in Holland and Belgium and Luxembourg, and then I was hitchhiking in London, and I was in the back of a van, and I happened to look through my little bag. It was about this big. And I saw this book, and I looked at the back cover, and it was that same picture that Purna Pragya Prabhu was talking about. Prabhupada smiling under a tree. And I was thinking, I have never seen anyone like this. This man is from another world. If there's anybody who's pure, if there's anyone who knows what is bliss, it's him. I never opened the book. I lost it. I studied Christianity throughout Europe, Judaism. I studied Islam, hitchhiking across the Middle East. I came to India, went to Himalayas, studied various sects of Buddhism, meeting yogis and sadhus and gurus. Then I came to Bombay to try to get a visa extension, and I met Srila Prabhupada at Cross Maidan. I didn't become a devotee, though. Later in Vrindavan, I met him again and surrendered my life to him. From Vrindavan, I had to leave, and the Brijavasis told me, because your visa's gone, you have to leave, but you should go to New Vrindavan. Because Swamiji has said that New Vrindavan is non-different than Vrindavan, so by all means, don't leave Vrindavan. So my idea was, I'll go to New Vrindavan until I can get a visa to come back to Vrindavan. because Prabhupada proved that I could stay in Vrindavan. Now, I completely forgot about that picture. It completely was blanked from my mind. When I saw Prabhupada in Cross Maidan, when I saw him in Vrindavan, I never made the connection that it was him. Then I took sannyas. I was at New Vrindavan for 10 years. And in 1982, I took sannyas. And after taking sannyas, one of my godbrothers, his name is Dulal Chandra, he gave me a gift of a framed photo of Prabhupada. He said it's the back cover of the first original edition of Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. And I saw that photo. That was the photo I saw. That was the photo that moved me so much. The amazing thing is that photo was Prabhupada standing under a tree at New Vrindavan. So before I began that long, painful, difficult journey of experiencing and experimenting so many things, the day before I disembarked on that journey, Krishna showed me, this is going to be your guru and this is where you're going to live. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I still have that photo in the same frame. I keep it as a very sacred. It was revealed to me the day I took sannyas. His Holiness Narasimha Maharaj and His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj were explaining how it was unbelievable for anyone to think that Prabhupada could ever leave us. And Narasimha Maharaj gave such a wonderful narration of his experience at the very time of the day when Srila Prabhupada left, and what preceded it in his life and what followed it after. His words inspired me to share my experience also. It's an experience of Prabhupada's inconceivable mercy. At that time, in October of 1977, I was the head pujari for Radha Vrindavan Chandra, and I was doing all-night kirtan in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was very ill, and devotees were taking turns doing kirtan. And it was always my longing to return to Vrindavan and serve Prabhupada. But the leader of the community told me he'll never let me go to Vrindavan. He says, if you go there, I know you'll never come back. But then I heard of Prabhupada's condition. And something so strong came into my heart. It was the feeling that Prabhupada was going to leave us. And others were saying, no, no, he's not going to leave. He's already said he's going to stay with us. But something in my heart was telling me he's going to leave. So I asked the leader of the community, I've surrendered my life and I've never asked anything. This is the first time I'm ever going to ask something of you. Please, let me go to Vrindavan and sing for Prabhupada before he leaves this world. Just one favor. I'll never ask anything again. He said, Prabhupada's not going to leave. I said, I believe he is. Please let me go. He said, your service is too important. There's no one else to take care of the deities. He said, I'll let you go in January. I said, but I don't believe that Prabhupada's going to be here in January. Please let me go. He said, no, you cannot go. So our understanding of Prabhupada is to be the servant of his servant. If you're displeasing his dear servants, then you cannot please him. So I went on with my service. But something extraordinary happened. During those days, because I would do all-night kirtan, so I would sleep in the day a few hours at a time. Almost every day, from the time we had that discussion, Prabhupada was appearing in dreams to me. The dream was always the same. I was in Vrindavan, in a dark room at night. I was Prabhupada's personal service, and I was massaging his body all night long. And he would ask me for different things. He would say, "Radhanath, please get me some milk." So I remember running around looking for milk, and everyone was sleeping. And I came back in the room, and Prabhupada said, "Where is my milk?" And I felt, what am I going to do? And then right when I was about to tell Prabhupada, "I can't find milk," someone came in the door and said, "Would you like to offer Prabhupada some milk?" And Prabhupada rubbed my head and said, "Thank you, I'm very pleased with you. Please massage me." This was the dream I was having again and again. Another time I was laying down listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada, a morning walk, and I fell asleep during the morning walk, and I had this dream where Srila Prabhupada was personally taking me on parikrama of all the places of Vrindavan. And he was talking to me. He was taking me around Govardhan. He was taking me to Mahavan and Vrindavan. He was showing me secret places of Krishna that he says that nobody knows about, but I'm showing you. And it was just the two of us. And meanwhile, as we were walking, there was just this conversation of Prabhupada preaching, preaching, preaching. It went on and on and on. And then I woke up, and the tape was playing of his morning walk. And I realized that throughout the dream, the tape was the soundtrack of the dream. What Prabhupada was speaking in the tape is exactly, because I played back the tape again, and what he was saying in the tape, except for a few little things, there was just an animation to that dream. Practically every time I would go to sleep, when I would wake up, I was thinking. I was not thinking. I knew that I just came from Vrindavan, where I was serving Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is beyond any material limitations. Anyone, anywhere, who wants to serve him, Srila Prabhupada will reciprocate. And he can reciprocate in inconceivable ways. One morning, when I was just taking rest, the temple president woke me up and said, "Prabhupada has left the planet." And Kirtanananda Maharaj wants you to come to the assembly of devotees and sing the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas. When I heard that he left, I was just up in a very dark little attic, laying on the floor. That's where I would sleep. It was total devastation. Even though I felt it would happen, still, when it happened, it was unbelievable. It could not be accepted by the heart. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in his Shikshastakam, Sunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename, that this world is just a dreary void bereft of Govinda. Devotees all over the world experienced that sloka of Mahaprabhu on that day when the news came to us that Prabhupada had left. I was sitting there paralyzed. At the beginning, I was so paralyzed, so bewildered. I lost all conception of who I was, where I was. I just became totally blank. And then when I tried to understand what was just said to me, all I could do was just fall down and cry. I went into that room, and when it was announced to the devotees what had happened, everyone was weeping. And I can speak for probably most of my God brothers and God sisters. We felt that our spiritual lives have ended. How could we continue without Srila Prabhupada? Whatever we did was with expectation that Prabhupada would be pleased with us. Any service we did, somehow we felt that Prabhupada would be pleased and he would reciprocate in some way. Whether it was making some sandesh and he would say, very nice sandesh. Or whether it was worshipping the deities. Everyone worshipping the deities as pujaris, the perfection of our life was the day Prabhupada would come and see the deities and say, very nice. Or if we were distributing books, somehow or other, either individually or collectively, when that result came to Prabhupada and he was pleased, that was the perfection of our lives. At New Vrindavan, we simply lived to develop so that the next time Prabhupada would come, he would say, very nice. Or he would say, why like this? Didn't matter. It was that reciprocation that we lived for. Practically every temple, and Prabhupada was expert. He would always be promising to come to temples. He came 4 times to New Vrindavan, but he was expected to come about 20 times. And we'd be preparing. He's coming, Prabhupada's. That was the mantra of ISKCON, Prabhupada's coming. Everyone was so excited, whether it was Los Angeles or London or Australia or Africa or India, America, Prabhupada's coming. So we were doing everything so nicely, having marathons. And then the day before he would come, he had to go somewhere else or he's too ill. But he will come, he will come. We live for Prabhupada to come, to reciprocate with our service. And on that day, this devastating blow came to our hearts. Prabhupada will never come again. What will be our motive? What will be our incentive? How will we live? Prabhupada talked about Vani. But on that day, the thought about Vani was such a theoretical conception that was so hard for us to comprehend. Do you remember, Maharaj? Nartaki Mataji, people were saying Vani, and it was a different language. How are we going to survive? And at New Vrindavan, we were trying to build a house for Prabhupada. Now it's called Prabhupada's Palace. Prabhupada was so happy. He said, all over the world, they're building temples, but Kirtan Ananda Swami is building a house for me. He understands properly. So we were inspired. We wanted to help build this. And he would always write letters to the, he called them the inmates of New Vrindavan. Inmates in the West is a prisoner. And we were prisoners, but we were happy prisoners. Prisoners of love for Prabhupada. No matter how many austerities, no matter how many difficulties, there was never even the thought of leaving, ever. Because we knew Prabhupada wanted this community to be built, so there's no question of leaving. It's for Prabhupada. And he would say, I will come to live in that palace. As soon as it's ready, I will come to live in it. That day when there was utter darkness in our hearts, Prabhupada is gone, the whole universe became a dreary void. Everything was meaningless. A few of us went to Prabhupada's palace just to pray for direction, for purpose, to go on. It was just a construction site. There was a painting of a photograph of Prabhupada on a little chair that was going to be the altar. And when we all looked at that photograph, we all had an overwhelming experience that Prabhupada is here. He's alive. He's with us. He promised us that he would come and live in this palace, and he's here. We came out blissful, full of strength, knowing that Prabhupada is not only with us simply in his vani, but in his person. He's willing to reciprocate in the heart of anyone from any generation who approaches him with a sincere desire to serve and follow his instructions. Srila Prabhupada is in his books. Srila Prabhupada is in all of our memories of the experiences that we had with him. Srila Prabhupada is in all of the stories that we hear of everyone's experiences with him. And every time we pick up his books to read, he's personally speaking to you and me. Every time we hear a tape, he's personally speaking to you and me. Every time we sincerely pray, he will reciprocate with you and me. Prabhupada is not an ordinary guru. Prabhupada is the special chosen acharya that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda empowered to spread the holy name all over the world. He is founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today, Narthaki Mataji was talking about Premamayi and the glorious way in which she left. Prabhupada taught us that process. His final instruction. If we read Prabhupada Lilamrita, we see that Prabhupada's whole life was the example in each ashram, in each aspect of life. He was a perfect Vaishnava, serving his Guru Maharaj. And at the time when Srila Prabhupada embarked on his world tour in 1965, penniless, not knowing anyone, the only wealth he had was total faith in his Guru Maharaj's order and total faith that the holy name of Krishna can transform anyone's heart. And another great asset he had was a burning, insatiable compassion to rescue the suffering people of this world who are ignorant of Krishna. In our history, we don't find anyone who was willing to take such risks against all odds with only this as their assets in life. His life was an acharya, a perfect example of how we should aspire to live. And he left this world in the most perfect possible way. Every motion, every word was a lesson for all generations. When his body was weak, he was emaciated, he could practically not eat, he couldn't stand up, he could not sit up. He told the devotees, "Bring me to London to preach." Not only London, he said, "After London, I'll go to Rome. After Rome, I'll go to America, I'll go to Gita Nagari, I'll go to my palace at New Vrindavan, I'll go to New York." He had a whole world tour set up. He was speaking less than this much strength in his voice. It was a whisper. He could not see without glasses this thick. But he was ready to go on a world tour. In fact, you know, he went to London, and the devotees in Rome were telling me just recently when I was there that they didn't go to London because Prabhupada was expected to go from London to Rome. They were waiting at the airport for his plane to come in when they found out that his health collapsed and he had to return to India. So when they asked Prabhupada, how can you go? He said, I am a soldier for Krishna. Let me die on the battlefield. That will be glorious. That is his spirit. That is his mood. As His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj was emphasizing, something he always does when he comes here, that Prabhupada didn't want us to selfishly just enjoy Krishna consciousness for ourselves. He wanted us to be unified, to give the world Krishna consciousness. That was his mission. Whether that means we together set an example that will inspire the world, or whether that means we travel all over the world, that may vary. But our inspiration should be to be united in such a way that we can help Prabhupada reach out to the world. Srila Prabhupada went to London, and how he inspired those devotees. When they saw Prabhupada's condition, that he came all that way, at that age, in that condition of life, just to inspire them to go on with their preaching. When he met Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who was named Ghanasham, when they heard about how he risked his life to distribute books in the communist countries, Prabhupada somehow or other struggled and strained to reach out to embrace him and cry. He didn't only embrace Ghanasham Prabhu. He embraced through him every single devotee for every generation who's risking their lives, who's struggling to try to push on his movement. But then in the end, he left this world in the most glorious way. He returned to Vrindavan. He actually called for all his disciples from all over the world to come and have kirtan for him together, for him to leave this world. But unfortunately, that order was kept a secret by certain leaders who felt that it would slow down the progress of their temples. But there were hundreds of devotees there in Vrindavan. Hundreds of loving disciples, most of whom were there with no other motive but their unconditional love for their spiritual master. They were chanting from their hearts and souls. It was the holiest of all months, Kartik, the month of Srimati Radharani's, where her mercy is most profusely distributed. In that room in Krishna Balaram temple where he, for so many years, translated his transcendental literatures, surrounded by hundreds of devotees chanting, and he was giving instructions on how to preach Krishna consciousness and how to be Krishna conscious up until his last breath. Prabhupada showed us how to die. In fact, I was living in Vrindavan before I became a devotee quite some time, and I know many Brijabasis. And really, their only ideal is to die in Vrindavan. They won't leave, many of them, because they may die. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. And many criticized Prabhupada because he left Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he came back and left this world in Vrindavan. All of them said, yes, now we could understand. He's supreme acharya. Not only did he spread all over the world the holy name of Krishna, but he also died in Vrindavan. He satisfied everyone's expectations of what a perfect Vaishnava should be. Over the years, there have been quite a few devotees of Prabhupada's movement who perfected their lives by following in his footsteps. How many devotees have left in Vrindavan? How many devotees even in other parts of the world have left their bodies with loving devotees chanting the holy names around them? We heard the story of Premamayi. And today Sridhar Maharaj, who's a very dear, beloved disciple and associate of Srila Prabhupada, he gave all of you a very rare and special blessing. His appreciation for your helping this very ordinary, unheard of Mataji with so much affection and attention. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj was overwhelmed by that experience. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that I offer my obeisances to all Vaishnavas, not only the great Paramhamsa Acharyas, but even the new devotee that's just coming to the path of bhakti. I bow down and offer respects to him. And it is true that most devotees in this movement, they're great souls, but they appear to be ordinary. They may be housewives. They may just be foot soldier book distributors without big scores. They may just be cooks or cleaners. But every devotee is such a sacred, glorified human being, because they have decided in their life to give their hearts to Krishna. And everyone has to die. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj was expressing that he was thinking, what is going to happen to all these devotees? Not the big leaders, but the ordinary devotees when they die. And he saw in some of you that type of compassion, that type of concern, whether she was a sannyasi, whether she was a GVC, or whether she was simply Premamayi, who none of you even hardly knew. No great credits to her career, but she was a Vaishnavi. That loving care to the Vaishnavas is so important. That's what's going to give strength and faith to this movement. Prabhupada has said that you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. But without that care, without that affection, without that service attitude, there cannot be any real unity. It's just words. Even in the Bible, Jesus Christ said, as you treat the least amongst men, that's how you treat me. Prabhupada treated every devotee with such affection, with such respect, both personally as well as within their hearts. So today, through His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, I believe Srila Prabhupada has given a great blessing to all of you. And with the blessing, a very important instruction of what it really means to be a devotee, of what it means to really please Srila Prabhupada. To be a Vaishnav means to be fearless according to our position, to preach the message, whether it's to thousands of people, or whether it means just giving encouragement for one unknown lady to leave her body in dignity of Krishna consciousness. And if you ask which is better, I say they are inseparable. Srila Prabhupada is showering his blessings upon all of us. If we personally met him, saw him, that was a great benediction. But if we just open our hearts to serve his mission and receive his mercy, we will all get the same glorious experience that Srila Prabhupada, he's coming. Not only is he coming, but he's simultaneously always with us. Service and separation is considered by the six Goswamis and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Prabhupada may have left this world on this particular day 17 years ago. But he has given us all the opportunity for the highest realization of association with him in the form of service through separation. And in that separation, his mercy and his presence will be more manifested in our hearts and in our lives than any other way. He has given all of us that gift. All we have to do is open our hearts and receive it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.